if you know that God has been better than good. I'm not going to prompt you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to say you need to stand up. I'm not even going to say you need to shout. I'm not going to say you need to wave your hand. If you just know that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that God has been better than good, then you just let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. He's been better than good to me. I can tell you that. And I can't say thank you enough. I really don't need a November the 22nd to tell me to say thank you. I said it January 1st and all through the years, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, and on into November and then beyond. I even thank him on credit. Amen. I thank him because I know he's going to be good tomorrow. I know what he did on yesterday. I know what he's doing right now. I know how he got me here tonight. I know that. I thank him because he's just been that good. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let me do what I've been assigned to do this evening. First of all, giving honor and praise to your pastor for the opportunity to stand in this place one more time. I do not take it lightly. As a matter of fact, I take it as an honor and a crown upon my head, of which I always try to rise high enough to fit. I thank him that he would entrust the pulpit to me, because I know, as you well know, what he does when he stands here, amen? And the prophet that he is, and the preacher that he is, and the pastor that he is. And so won't you celebrate him with me for just a moment? Because God has been good to Alfred Street by giving Alfred Street Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley. I thank him because he's a friend. I thank him because he's a brother indeed. I thank him for the gift that he is to women in the ministry. And I don't take that lightly as a Baptist woman. That's a big something right there. And so I praise God for him. I thank God for my sister girlfriend, Dr. Judy Fentress Williams. My Lord, have mercy. And also, I feel the same way, to stand where she stands and to try to do what they do. I give God praise for the honor. I thank you for your friendship and your kinship and your sisterhood and all of those other things that that we share. And for all of the sisters in ministry, Sister Reverend Marcia, for all of those who are here this evening, I thank God for you and for just bringing us together. If you had to fight that traffic like I had to fight that traffic tonight, we know that God has something in store. Amen. Has to have something in store. Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and get to work. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles. Thank God for this awesome music ministry. Amen. Bless you, paving the way and for doing what you've done. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I brought with me this evening my 14-year-old great niece, Amani. She would not sit on the front row. I don't know where she is, but oh, there she is. And she wanted me to let you know that she's with me because my husband had to teach a class tonight. So she came with me. And so I got a text in the middle of sitting up there saying, are you going to let them know? So I'm letting you know that she is with me on this evening. Since she and I praise God for her. Reverend Odessa, good to see you and everybody. I cannot see with these glasses, so I'm just praise God for everybody here. I think I have some members out there, and I thank God for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at the 23rd verse. Just a tiny little bit I want to read to you this evening that the Lord has placed on my heart. Very familiar passage. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. I'm going to stop right there. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise. We bless your holy name, and we thank you, O God, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for what he's done for us already on Calvary's cross. But thank you, O God, for what he yet continues to do. Now we ask that in this preaching moment, that you would rise up and do what needs to be done in this place. Speak to us, O God. Transform us. Fix our hearts. Regulate our minds. Work on those places that yet need working on. We yield in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen and amen. You may be seated in God's presence on this evening. I want to talk to you from the time that is ours from the subject, betrayals and blessings. Betrayals and blessings. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed. My granddaddy, Hezekiah Meganson, who has long gone on to be with the Lord, but he was a farmer. All the days of his life, he worked the earth. Seed dropped through his fingers and filled long rows of tilled soil. And then those seeded rows of brownish red earth eventually transformed into high stalks of corn and plump, juicy tomatoes and bulbous onions, fingery string beans, fat, stripy watermelons. Over on the other field were big, long rows of leafy green tobacco that kept us nourished through the summer, vegetables did. Soon they would be, there would even after that, there would be leafy green salad, kale, collards, creasy, rape, all growing up. And after the first frost would hit, they would be ready for the picking. Grandpa's early morning scufflings around required no alarm clock. He just knew that there was work to be done. And so faithfully, every morning he rose with the sun, and dawn never beat him to the pasture, but it met him there. Cows had to be milked, hogs had to be slopped, weeds had to be pulled, ripe vegetables harvested, all this so that there might be some food on the table. Now I know I'm talking to Alfred Street, y'all may not have come up through that kind of stuff, but trust me, somebody had to go to the fields, amen? We didn't have a Kroger or a Safeway or a Wegmans around the corner. Those long rows of earth were our grocery store. And that was a good thing because the nearest fully stocked grocery store was miles away in town. So when we needed produce, it was nothing for grandma to request that somebody run down to the garden, get a couple of onions or a few potatoes for the meal that she was preparing. For the apples, that came with the frying of the breakfast, fried apples that came with the breakfast came off of the tree that was out there in the yard. The peaches for the peach cobbler came from the orchard. And because of this, the gifts that the earth gave up were inextricably linked to the thankfulness that we felt at mealtime. We never sat down to eat without first thanking God for the blessing of this meal. Grace was a requirement in my grandmama's house. Dear God, we thank you for the food which has been prepared for the nourishment of our bodies and for the hands that prepared it. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. From the earliest days of my upbringing to the last time we ever visited my grandmama, we never left their house without carrying away a bushel of fresh corn or a bag of turnips or a mess of greens or something. It seemed like farming and radical hospitality just went hand in hand. We always seemed to have enough, not just for us, but for others who happened by right at dinner time or right at breakfast time, though they were unannounced, regardless of their condition or their station in life, Grandmama fed them with the bounty that God had given us through the gardening that they had. And let me tell you, you knew God loved you when you tasted my grandmama's cooking. That's what radical hospitality was all about. We give freely because we have been freely given. We feed others because we know that it was God's goodness that fed us. It's the same spirit in which we sing before or after the offering from 1 Chronicles 29, all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. It all comes from God, and the best we can do as recipients of what God has given us is to use it to bring glory back to God by sharing it with others. Jesus shows us then the heart of thanksgiving during this last meal of his life. He takes the bread, the simplest of foods, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and shared it with the others, saying, "This is my body." Now, little do they know that at this last Passover feast that he's not just breaking the bread to have enough to share with everyone at the table, but he's breaking it to show that his very own body will also be broken for them. Handing it to them, he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Now, I know we're in America and we think we invented the Thanksgiving meal, but long before any pilgrim ever sat down with the nation's first people, Jesus sat down with his disciples and he gave thanks. And while Michelangelo has made it look all picturesque and serene, imagine if you will, what this Thanksgiving Passover meal might have really been like. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, are there at the table, but they got a little attitude because they wanted to be seated to the right and the left of Jesus. But John, who was the baby of the group, is on one side sucking up as much attention from Jesus as he can because he knows that he is Jesus's favorite. Bartholomew and James and Andrew are on one other end of the table talking about, "I wonder who made the potato salad," because you know you can't eat just anybody's potato salad. And then Peter is over there on the other end feeling like since he has already demonstrated his good knife skills, he should be the one to carve the turkey. Thomas, the other, James the Greater, and Philip are eyeing the biggest piece of chicken because you know that there's going to be trouble when there's a table full of preachers and everybody knows that the preacher is supposed to get the biggest piece of chicken. Jude and Thaddeus are down there. They just glad to be in the number. Don't nobody hear much about them. No way. They just glad to have a seat at the table. And then there is Judas. Judas down there clutching his purse because he has just gotten a big cash payout for putting the finger on Jesus. And that's really where I want to hang our hats this evening, because the text says on the night that he was betrayed, because many of us will reluctantly be traveling to Thanksgiving dinners. And some of us may decide not to even go at all because we have had bad experiences and foul memories around Thanksgiving. But if we were to read this a little more closely, according to the events as they occurred, we would notice that here it is the very night that he was betrayed. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks. Now, let's just be honest here. It's 2 weeks, 2 days before Thanksgiving. Let's just be honest. If it was the night that I was betrayed, or if it was the night that you were betrayed, we would not be trying to give thanks for anything. We would be worrying about how we were going to get back at the person, how we were going to get away from the person, what we were going to do to deal with the situation. But the text says this: on this very night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks. Better yet, the text,
more accurately reads, according to the events as they have occurred, it would actually say, on the night that Jesus was about to be betrayed. Or better still, knowing full well that he was just a couple of hours from being betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, that's more of an accurate reading from the scholars is what I understand. But here's what I would say if I had to tell the story. I'd say despite the fact that his betrayer was in the room and seated at the table with him, he still took bread and still gave thanks. And I think what we learn from that is that whenever you can turn how bad folks have been to you into how good God has been to you, you have already demonstrated your keen understanding of what it really means to give thanks. In other words, he didn't let Judas's two-faced, bold-faced, lying, conniving, alternative, truth-telling, tweeting self keep him from remembering the goodness of God, and it would not prevent him from giving thanks. Now, I have another confession for you. I have to confess that I struggled with this whole passage over the Passover feast because the Gospels let us know that this is also the night that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. It's also the foot washing night. And I've told my people, I've told my church many times, he washed the feet of every disciple in the room and every disciple in the room. And yet this was the night that he was about to be betrayed. And don't think he didn't know that he was about to be betrayed. And so I told my people, now if I had to do it, if it had been me, only 22 feet would have gotten washed that night. I don't know how I would have gotten out of washing Judas's feet. I don't know. I would have said, Judas, man, can you run over there and get something for us while I wash? Okay, well, Judas, can you go step outside the room? Maybe I would have tipped the basin over right when I got to Judas's feet. Say, oh, man, ain't no more water left, man. You'll be all right. Don't worry about it. Your hands are dirty. Your feet might as well be dirty, too. That's how I would have done it. That's what I would have done. I don't know. I don't know. Because not all of me is fully yet saved, and the still yet to be saved part of me would have had a hard time convincing the pretty much saved part of me to wash this scoundrel's feet. But Jesus washes 24 feet. That's why really my Shiro of last year and this is the owner of Virginia's Red Hen restaurant in Charlottesville. Y'all remember her? That's the lady who, when Sarah Huckabee Sanders, that White House press secretary, came expecting to be served a meal, she was refused and asked by the owner of the restaurant to go on and leave the premises. She asked her to leave because she felt that Sarah Huckabee Sanders had betrayed the American people by standing up every day and repeating and spewing lies and supporting fear-mongering. And it got so close to home for her that she asked her to leave because the very people in her restaurant who would have been assigned to serve Huckabee Sanders were the people that Huckabee Sanders was making life harder for. They were the immigrants and the disenfranchised and the help. And this restaurant owner became my Shiro. She became my Shiro that day, not because of any ill will she was inflicting, but because she wanted the woman who stood up and supported taking away milk from babies by denying them WIC and SNAP assistance to know what it feels like to be denied food. She wanted the woman who stood up and supported blocking access to quality health care for the least of these to know what it feels like to not have access to the things that you think you deserve just because you're a human, even a common meal. She wanted this woman who spouted off reasons why it's good to snatch Mexican babies out of the loving arms of their parents and lock them in government-run cages to feel what it feels like to be locked out of something so she could couldn't get it. She wanted the woman who stood in the way of civility and compassion and resources and kindness for so many of the least of these. She wanted this woman to know what it feels like to not have the access that everybody deserves. And one Christian writer said it this way: you can't spit on the plates and then demand your dinner. And the best way to receive civility at night is to not act crazy all day long. That's just good table manners. That's just good spirit, right? That's just being a decent human being. But here's the thing: as good as it feels and as right as it feels to stand up to power and speak truth and to push back against the wicked, and as necessary as this may be, this text rises up and challenges us by asking, who are we justified in keeping from the table? Messes with me because she's my shiro. Messes with me because I want the people who inflict pain to feel some of the pain that they're inflicting. But when you come to the table right here, the question, as necessary as this may be, is are we any more right or just in keeping others from the table than they are in keeping us away? Who gets to say who's worthy of a seat at the table in the kingdom of whosoever will? So here it is. That's the dilemma we face on the night that he was betrayed. He took some bread, and when he had given thanks, betrayal and gratitude, betrayal and blessing, betrayal and not forgetting who God is and what God has done on the night that he was betrayed. And here's the thing, we can be so conditional in our thanksgiving. So sometimey, so mood related, and so circumstantial. But this Thanksgiving meal teaches us that there's always a cause to give thanks, that there's always a reason to look above the current set of circumstances and to say, thank you, God, for still being God. I know the bills are not all paid, but I thank you. I know the folks are not acting right in my house, but I thank you. I know it's been one thing after another, but I thank you. I know there's a missing seat at the table this year, but I thank you. I know the doctor is not talking right now, but I thank you. And you can say thank you, not just based on the good things God has done, but based on the fact that God is just good. Yeah. Y'all just sang about that a minute ago. That's what he said. God is just good. It's not what God does, it's who God is. And despite the sometimes horrifying events and circumstances of life, despite the fires, the floods, the hurricanes, the storms of life, you can still thank God because God is just plain good. Okay, I lost a whole lot of y'all there. You're still wrestling with the other part. Let me see if I can bring this back around. You see, it takes an extraordinary God to create a creation that is capable of betraying its creator. One of the things I don't understand about the sovereignty of God is this: why would God give creation the capacity to betray God? Why? I'm sure God had to ask it. Maybe if God had asked his advisors in the beginning at the heavenly host at the moment of creation, they'd have said, all right, God, go on and create them. But don't let them have the capacity to betray you. Because if you give them the capacity to betray you, they just might take you up on that. But God, in all of God's wisdom and all of God's sovereignty, is neither insecure nor disempowered by the fact that the very pinnacle of God's creation would have the choice and the free will at any given time to accept or to betray God. You ever thought about the fact that we are the only thing in nature that goes against our very nature? that goes against the nature that to betray the God that created us, and yet we're the only part of creation that does that. Everything else does what it is created to do. We are created to praise God. Everything else does what it's created. Hens lay eggs and cackle, and cows moo and give milk and meat, and birds fly and build nests for their babies and then push their babies out so they can fly on their own, and roosters still crow at daybreak. Then even snakes slither around and coil and bite people. But that's in their nature. They're doing what it's in their nature to do. And yet we are the only thing that goes against our own nature and will betray the God that created us. That's what's happening on this night. On this night, that night, while he was being betrayed, he did not just take the bread and give thanks, but he broke it. Broke the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." Some stuff has to break before it comes into full purpose. I like the Japanese have this tradition in pottery called kintsugi. And kintsugi is what they when they have a vessel and it cracks or it chips, we just take it and throw it away. We say it's no more good anymore, so we just throw it in the trash can. But the Japanese said, no, you're missing the point. So they take gold, real gold, and they fill in the cracks and they fill in the chips and they make the bowl so that it's better than it was before it was ever broken in the first place. It's more beautiful, and rather than losing value, it gains beauty and it gains value. And I need to let you know that that's the same thing that's true for us. When we are broken and then put back together by the very hands of the one who created us, we don't lose value. We become more valuable in the kingdom because God has worked God's work in us. But years ago, when my 14-year-old niece was a little girl, we used to have parties for her. We'd take her to her favorite restaurant, whatever that restaurant is. We still keep that tradition. I don't know if we're going to do it on 15, but we did it all these 14 years. We'd take her to a place. And one of those years, when she was a little girl, we had those little light-up things, you know, those straws. They light up, and you can wear them as necklaces and bracelets and stuff. Well, I was not too totally familiar with that. I try to stay hip, I try to stay cool, but I'm not up on everything all the time. And so everybody was wearing their necklace and wearing their bracelets and all of that, and I kind of slid mine in my purse. And somebody noticed that I was not wearing mine and said, "What's wrong? Why are you not wearing your thing? Did you get one?" And I said, "Yeah, I got it, but I put it in my purse because mine didn't light up." I was feeling some kind of way because mine didn't light up. And then one of the kids came over and said, "Reverend Aunt Cynthia, you gotta break it. And when you break it, then it'll light up." So I took it out my purse and I broke it, and then I wore that thing. And I just came by to let you know, church, that you thought the breaking was sent to destroy you, but no, the breaking is what happened so that you can light up and be the light of the world, so that the Lord can shine through you and you can say, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it." You won't get to your fullest purpose until you have been broken. On that night, while he was being betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. But he didn't stop there, because on that same night, while he was being betrayed, the text says he took the cup. And I'm about done with this one. It says, "Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup," because you can't stop with the bread. Bread alone will just make you thirsty, make your mouth dry. So you need the cup, because in the cup is the covenant of my blood. It's the blood that goes with the meal of the bread, that pulls the whole thing together. And the songwriter said that it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest. But it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It's the blood that will never, ever lose its power. I just came by to let you know that you can say thank you. Despite the betrayals and despite whatever else is going on, you can say thank you in the face of those who have betrayed you, in the midst of all that is going on, because of what is done through the blood. He took this even when the enemy unleashed the worst that the enemy had to unleash on the night that he was being betrayed, Jesus took his broken body and then took his shed blood and turned all of that betrayal into the blessing that we have on today. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I know that it was the blood that made a seat at the table for me, and it's the blood that makes a seat at the table for you. I know it might be a little upsetting to hear about the fact that those who are wicked and those who are not in good standing and those who have done us wrong still have a seat at the table. But I need to let you know, church, that the good news is the fact that they get a seat at the table means that you, with your repentant self, can also have a seat at the table too. You need to know that Christ died for us, and yet while we were still sinners, Christ decided to die for us. You need to know that it was the blood that gives us strength from day to day, that moves mountains. It's the blood that rises up in us. It's the blood that renews in us. It was nothing but the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It'll never, ever, ever lose its power. Well, I thought about this and I said to myself, and I'm done. I said, Cynthia, this is going to be hard to preach because folks don't want to celebrate the fact that some folks that we are counting on to be punished for all the evil that they do might get a pass if they just repent for their sins. You shouldn't, you don't want to be mad about that. You don't want to be hoping some go that way and don't have a chance. Because the question is, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. And the reason that it causes me to tremble is the fact of the matter is it wasn't just them folk who were at the cross crucifying our Lord. It was you and it was me who was at the cross. But thanks be to God that even on the night that he was being betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it. Well, let me hasten to say, you don't have to worry about all of those folks that you want to go down, because they've been so bad while they were here. You don't have to. That's not your issue. That's not your concern. What you need to know is that they will take care of each other. Let me make it shoutable. They will take out each other. You can just watch that now. They don't just turn on God, and they don't just turn on us. They turn on each other. And then if you follow the story of Judas all the way to the end, Judas, didn't nobody have to take him out? Judas took his own self out. Now, I'm not celebrating that because I am saved enough, just enough to know that that's not really a point of celebration. But the point of celebration for us is that we don't have to go the way of Judas. We can repent for our sins and ask God to forgive us for all that we do. And even when we mess up, We can remember that he took bread while he was being betrayed and gave thanks. That's really all I have for you tonight. I wish I could shout you a little bit more, but I know what these seasons are like, and I know how hard it is sometimes to sit at the table. And some of us are going to be across from some folks. That even though we share the same blood, it's going to take the blood. Oh, the blood. It's going to take the power of the blood. It's going to take something else for us to get through. May the Lord God bless you real good. May you know that on this night, that night, while he was being betrayed, he gave thanks. And since he gave thanks, so can you. God bless you.